If the world knew God through its own wisdom, their wisdom, and they would at least get partial credit for knowing God. And that is not how God wants it to be, because God is deserving of all glory, and his ways are so much higher than ours that he wants us to know it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Serving Christ in Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Jake Olson, and I'm glad that you're here with us today. The email for the show is servingchristinhealthcare@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can send those in and I can address those for you. Today we're going to continue our trek through 1 Corinthians with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. And I will read that for you now. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 through 25. This is ESV. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So there's our passage that we're going to go through today. We're going to try and pick apart what Paul's getting at here and then apply that to our work, especially in healthcare, to see how that can change our work and how we honor God there. So this one is titled Wisdom and Power, and we get that from verse 24, where Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Wisdom and power are major emphases in these verses. For example, wisdom, wise, foolishness, folly, some word like that is used 15 times in just these 9 verses. So it's pretty clear that that's one of the main points Paul is getting across here. And then right in the very beginning, we have power used a couple times as well. And so we're going to walk through Paul's flow of thought here. Now this is kind of a convoluted passage, and it's kind of hard to track what it is that Paul is building on here. He's making an argument here, and we know this because 6 of the 7 sentences start with the word for, which we could say would be the same as because. So Paul is saying because. So we need to track why Paul is using these arguments here and what his main point is. So we're going to just walk through. There's 4 kind of main points in this passage that we're going to walk through just to get an overview of what's going on here. Then we're going to answer the 2 main questions that this passage begs, and then we're going to apply it to our work. So point 1 is from verse 17, and the point is that worldly wisdom empties the cross of its power. So in verse 17, Paul says that Christ did not send me to baptize but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So worldly wisdom empties the cross of its power. Here Paul uses the phrase eloquent wisdom, but worldly wisdom is kind of the point we're getting from this whole passage, so I think we can use those interchangeably. So the message of the cross has the power to save and transform lives. We know that in general, and we know that from Paul's other writings, especially like Romans 1:16, for example, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to those who believe. So the message of the cross has the power to save and transform lives. So first, we have our first mention of power here, and that power comes from the message of the cross. Now, Paul's point in this first sentence, his first introductory statement, is that worldly wisdom nullifies that power. So moving on to the next point. The next point answers the question, why does worldly wisdom empty the cross of its power? And his second point is that because there is no power in worldly wisdom. That is the very nature of worldly wisdom. It is powerless. Power cannot work through worldly wisdom even in part. And we get this from verse 18, which says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So to the world, to those who are perishing, it is folly. There is no power in the word of the cross. So worldly wisdom that they're trying to understand the gospel with, there's no power there because they're perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is a power of God. So worldly wisdom does not have power. That's the nature of it. So that's Paul's explanation of why worldly wisdom empties the cross of its power, is because worldly wisdom has no power. That's the nature of it. So the word of the cross is the power of God to those who are being saved. The power is what saves. Worldly wisdom does not save, therefore, there is no power there. So, point three, we have point one, worldly wisdom empties the cross of its power. Point two, because there is no power in worldly wisdom. That is the nature of worldly wisdom. Point three answers the question, why is there no power in worldly wisdom? So, Paul, you've already said that worldly wisdom empties the cross of its power because it is powerless by nature. Why is worldly wisdom powerless? And we get this from verses 19 through 20. Literally, his answer is because God made it that way. It says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" So that question is really a statement. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. So that's his answer to why there is no power in worldly wisdom, because God made it that way. God made the world's wisdom foolishness. Now, Paul puts in a couple subpoints here. In verse 21, he answers the question, why is the world's wisdom foolish? So we've answered, why is the world's wisdom powerless? Because God made it that way. He made the world's wisdom foolishness. Why is the world's wisdom foolish? Verse 21 says, because it did not and cannot come to know God. It does not know God, it cannot come to know God. Verse 21 says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. So the wisdom of the world is foolishness because worldly wisdom cannot come to know God. It does not know God and it cannot know God. That is why it's foolishness. Then the next question, why can't the world's wisdom know God? In verses 22 and 23, it is because the cross of Christ is a stumbling block to Jews and folly to everyone else. So for the Jews, it's a stumbling stone. It's right in their way. They can't evade it. Even if they ignore that it's not there, they can't get around it. They will stumble over it. They could not get over the fact that their savior would be a suffering savior. They wanted him to be a king, to rule the nation, to rule the world. But to see Jesus as who he was, as having to die on the cross for the sins of the people, they couldn't get around that. That was a stumbling stone. So the only other option that you can do with a stone that you can't get around is to stand on it. And that's what those who believe in Christ are doing. They're standing on the rock that is Jesus Christ. So it is a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to everyone else. Everyone else thinks that is just stupid. That makes no sense. And we all know people who do not know God, they think that it's just ridiculous. And that's the truth. The worldly wisdom cannot come to know God because it just seems foolish to them. So let's just recap these first few points here. Point one, worldly wisdom empties the cross of its power. Point two, because worldly wisdom is powerless by nature. Point three, because God made it that way. It is that way because it cannot know God. And it does not know God because the cross of Christ is foolishness or a stumbling block to them. So finally, point four answers the question, why did God do it this way? So point three is that God made it that way. And point four is, why did God make it this way? He did it this way so that God might be shown to be wiser and stronger in his foolishness and weakness than man is in his strength and wisdom. This is from verse 25. It says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So this all is to elevate God and to humble us. God's ways are infinitely higher than our ways, and he didn't want us to know him through our own wisdom to make it clear that this is the case, that God is so much higher than us. If we came to know God through our own wisdom, if the world knew God through its own wisdom, their wisdom, and they would at least get partial credit for knowing God. And that is not how God wants it to be, because God is deserving of all glory and all majesty and all credit. And his ways are so much higher than ours that he wants us to know it by the fact that we cannot know him through our own wisdom. So that's one big reason why God does it this way. Now, there's a second reason why God does it this way, why the world cannot know God through wisdom, why he made the wisdom of the world foolishness, and that's at the end of the next paragraph, which we will cover next time. So that's just a teaser for you, but this is one big reason. God wants us to know that his ways are infinitely higher than our ways, and one way that he does that is by making it so that we cannot know him through our own wisdom, that we need God in order to know God. So let me just recap quickly these 4 points. Worldly wisdom empties the cross of its power because worldly wisdom is by nature powerless. And it is this way because God made it that way. And God made it that way so that he might be shown to be that much higher and wiser and stronger than us, to elevate himself and to humble us. So the two questions that kind of scream from this for me to answer are, the first one is, what are some ways that words of eloquent or worldly wisdom empty the cross of its power? And number two, why is there no power from God when we try to do things in our own strength, which this passage brings out some and is also highlighted in other writings of Paul. But first, the first question, what are some ways that words of eloquent or worldly wisdom empty the cross of its power? We see that this can happen, number one, because the focus becomes on the person speaking rather than the message. And we can see this back from verse 12 earlier in this chapter, where the people are saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas. So they're boasting in the person that they're following. It's become about the person speaking rather than the message. And when it becomes about the person, we are tempted to boast in the speaker, which they were doing. And number two, the speaker is tempted to rely on their own abilities rather than God. So when it becomes about the speaker rather than the message, the speaker is going to get at least partial credit for anything that happens as a result of this. And the message no longer gets full credit. That's why there's no power then in the message. So the message of the cross gets emptied of its power when power is being attributed to the person speaking rather than the message. And the second way that words of wisdom can empty the cross of its power is that if people get saved, so if stuff happens as a result of the message of the cross, which this is happening in verse 21 and in verse 24, it has people knowing God or not knowing God, those who believe becoming saved. If people are getting saved, then the wisdom or the words of worldly wisdom will get at least partial credit for it rather than God getting all the credit, and we know that God will not share his glory. So again, God does not want to give any credit for people getting saved to anything except himself. His ways are so much higher than our ways that he wants us to know that. And this is how he gets us to know that, by saving us through him and not through worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom is not going to get credit for anything. So that's the first question. The second question is, why is there no power from God when we try to do things in our own strength? So we know that this is not how God works. God does not give us power when we try to do it ourselves. We know this is not the case. For example, 2 Corinthians 12 verses 9 and 10, God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So God's power works through weakness. And here we see why this is the case. It is because God wants us to know the magnitude of his wisdom and his strength compared to ours or the world's. God wants us to know him for who he is, to know him more, to see how wise and strong he is. That's why God chose to save people through something that was foolish, so that way all glory could be given to God. The weakness of the message here to the world, the message of the cross, seems weak. It seems folly. It seems foolishness. But God chose to work through that so that it would be shown to be God working in people's hearts and not worldly wisdom. If God saves people through something that seems foolish, then it is clearly God working. If something that foolish is saving people, it is clearly God working, and God wants us to know that it's him. That's why God works through weakness, so that it can be shown to be him working and not us, that he's the one that gets the credit for it and not us, that his ways are so much higher than ours that it gets demonstrated in our lives that that is the case. So those are the two questions that kind of stand out from this passage to answer. So we've gone through the flow of thought here. We've answered a couple questions that kind of stand out. Now let's try and apply this to our work. So this passage is a warning against boasting in two different things, our own wisdom and our own power. So number one, our own wisdom. So especially in healthcare, there is a lot of pride in wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom and knowledge is not wrong in and of itself, but when it becomes a reason to rely on ourselves because we know things, we've now crossed into sin. It's okay to have wisdom, but we have to recognize how foolish our wisdom is compared to God's. We must have a humble view of our wisdom. So we can see how rampant pride is in healthcare for people that think that they know it all and that they're wiser than everyone else and they know the best thing to do in these situations. They know how to handle themselves. They know who to call, what to do, what medications to use, what therapy to do, this and that. And it becomes a reason for them to become proud in themselves. So we want to be extremely aware of this, especially in healthcare, where there are levels of wisdom among people in healthcare. But we want to have a humble view of our wisdom, realizing that it is foolishness compared to God's wisdom. That whatever, quote, wisdom we have, it is from God, that we didn't give it to ourselves. That it is from God, that He is working through us to accomplish His purposes, to serve Him in healthcare. And it is only when we have a weak view of our wisdom, remember, God works through weakness. It's only when we have a humble view of our own mind and a weak view of our wisdom that God will work through us to serve Him the most. So we don't want to boast in our wisdom. We want to have a humble view of our wisdom, recognizing it's from God and that it is weakness compared to God. And God will work through that weakness to serve Him most. And number two is our power. So in healthcare, there are a lot of days or seasons of time where we have to tough it out for a variety of reasons. For example, let's say that you're short-staffed and it's going to be an extended period of time, or your staff is just not that efficient and it's tough that way as well. Or let's say you're being pressured to do things that you think are a waste of time, or a variety of other things that could make healthcare tough for you at this moment in time. We have to know that we can't do it in our own strength. We must recognize that we need God's strength to honor Him. I know it's my temptation to be self-sufficient and to say, oh, this problem arises. Well, I can do this. I can handle that. I can go through this. I'm good at this. I'm efficient, etc., etc. And to trust in myself that I can get this done, that I can get through this season, get through this stretch of time, do whatever it takes to accomplish what needs to be done in and of my own strength. But we need to recognize that God's strength is what we need. God works through weakness. He doesn't work through strength. So we cannot be boastful in our own power, in our own strength to get things done, to get through hard times. We need to come to God and say, we need you. We need to humble ourselves. It is through our weakness, recognizing how weak we are, that God will work. He shows up in our weakness, not in our strength. So if we want God to show up in our work, if we want Him to be working in our lives, we need to have a low view of our own power and to say that whatever I'm able to do is from God and I cannot do this by myself. That is where God will show up and work. And so let's just think about areas in work, even in other areas of our life, where we're trusting in our own power or our own wisdom and not even acknowledging God, but just thinking, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to get this done. But we need to go to God in prayer and say, forgive me for being proud in my wisdom and my power. Ask that He will help you go forward trusting in Him, that He will give you wisdom and power to accomplish what He wants to accomplish in your life. So those are the two things that we need to evaluate in our work. And especially in healthcare, these things are so common to be puffed up in our wisdom or puffed up in our power, and God does not work there. So we need to have a humble view. Look at, again, this passage. What has God said about the wisdom of the world and the power of the world? It is nothing. It is so below Him that it doesn't even register on the scale when we compare it to God's. And so let's take that view about worldly wisdom and worldly power in healthcare and just realize that God is so much more than that. God is so higher. He is so much above and exalted above this that it doesn't even make sense for us to boast in it at all. We need to trust in God and not in our own wisdom or our own power or the power and wisdom of the world or the healthcare system around us. So this whole episode can be summarized by Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. And it says this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me." So let's go forward boasting in the Lord, not in our wisdom, our might, or our riches, or anything that really is from God in our lives. Thank you for listening to this episode of Serving Christ in Healthcare. Again, the email for the show is servingchristinhealthcare@gmail.com. Feel free to send anything there that you'd like me to address for you, and I'd be happy to respond. So thanks for listening, and God bless your work.